Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Jay Smith Podcast. This is episode number 243, dedicated to a man who on May 2nd, 1876, hit the first home run in the National League, Mr. Ross Barnes. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we will be joined by Miss Alexa Wester as she helps us kick off Women in Sports Month here on the podcast. I have been thinking and trying to find ways for us to have more fun here on the podcast than we already do. I looked at the months of May, June, and July and quickly saw that the month of May has 5 Mondays, and I said, how about we dedicate this month, the month of May, to women? Allow them to be featured on the podcast, for them to tell their story, and for them to help us learn more about what it is like being a woman in sports. Lexi, as we will call her, it's also what she goes by, is someone that I found on Twitter, followed maybe 3 to 4 years ago. She's a Michigan Wolverines fan, and I don't take very much time in this interview or conversation taking a jab at her for the team she loves. She laughs about it. We both laugh about it. It's all in fun. But Lexi has a fun journey, and I just love hearing her talk about different things she has done, playing sports, on stuff she does on Twitter, stuff she's doing in media. I just love talking to her in this interview, and trust me, she'll be back on at some point. We already talked about time for her to come back on the podcast down the road. This will not be the last time you hear Lexi's voice on the Jay Stevens podcast. So without further ado, I'm going to back away and bring in Lexi. So let's go ahead and take a trip to the state of Michigan to enjoy my fun conversation with Miss Alexa Wester as she helps us kick off Women in Sports Month here on the podcast. And joining us now here on the Jay Stevens podcast, it's one of the rare times I get a follower on Twitter that's so good and so enjoyable to follow that I bring them on the podcast. But this is the start of Women in Sports Month. It's Alexa Wester at GoBlue something on Twitter. Don't really care because I had that GoBlue nonsense in there. We'll see your Twitter handle here in a second. Alexa Wester here for Women in Sports Month, the first guest, and Lexi, as I'll call her. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited.
Yeah, no problem. This is something I've been thinking about doing for a while, and the month of May this year has 5 Mondays in it, so it's going to be perfect for getting 5 women on here to talk about their journey, their story in sports, kind of their upbringing, kind of about what they're doing now, kind of their own personal dynamic, because I believe everybody's story is different. Your journey is different than others, And so I'm really kind of looking forward to hearing your story. But Lexi, it's at GoBlueLexi. 117, I believe, on Twitter, just to get the little joke out there. She's a Michigan Wolverines fan. I'm an Ohio State fan. So there will be a healthy back and forth possibly on this show, but yeah. We're going to enjoy every second of it. But Lexi, let's go ahead and go back to your younger days, high school, middle school. Maybe you were top, maybe you were 5, 6, 7 playing sports. What was life for you being a sports fan and someone that played sports as a kid?
Well, I mean, for as long as I can remember, I've loved sports. I've been a huge tomboy my whole life. I think my first Michigan game I watched, it was 1993. So since I was 5 years old, I've been, diehard, that, Lions. But just dedicated a lot to basketball is my upbringing, where I was playing from probably since I was 7 years old until end of high school. I never played in college, but yeah. It's soccer, softball, all of it. It was definitely a sports-filled childhood and upbringing.
Were you an only child growing up? Did you play sports with siblings, or were you just kind of doing your own thing with friends in the neighborhood?
So me and I have a little sister, and we're 6 years apart. So growing up, it was I was a lot bigger than her and stuff. So I kind of just did my own thing, and it was just always physical, always competitive. In everything that I do till this day. But it's just was mostly to myself growing up.
What was your career like playing sports in high school?
So it's an interesting story, one that I do like to tell, so it's kind of fun to be able to do it. But so I actually transferred high school, or from I went to Dexter in middle school and then transferred to Pinckney is where I went to high school. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I played there, you know, sophomore and junior, I mean, I'm freshman and sophomore year. And then junior year, I got cut from the team. Political reasons, we'll just leave it at that. But so I took that opportunity. I played on like a city club team called outside of Ann Arbor, and had connections with my AAU coach, who actually was a head coach at Gabriel Rochard, which was a private school in Ann Arbor. And he said, well, be my assistant coach this season, get your, you know, training in, you can see it from the other side, it'll make you a better player. I got you, you know? So I actually went and was an assistant coach my junior year at a private school with girls my age. And it really like just changed who I was as a player. Come back my senior year, was six man off the bench, basically. My head coach, bless his soul, Stallone, actually had like a speech at our like post-season banquet that was just like that. Basically, it was a mistake, like, you know, not, you know, cutting me, and then I came back and was like comeback player of the year, basically. And it was the hard work and dedication, you know. I mean, I love basketball. It's still one of my biggest regrets, not like focusing on and trying to play it in college, but you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
You really can't go any further without hearing what kind of basketball player you are, because I know you are a tomboy, and I do know how guys are when they see a girl playing basketball and maybe she's talking trash to them. They want to go back at her and just let her know, like, you're not going to come here and run this court. This is our court. What kind of hooper were you going in high school?
So I was always going to open gyms. Okay. I lived, like, growing up in high school, like, in my high school years, peak years. I lived, like, right across the street from the middle school, so I could, like, walk to open gym, did it all the time. And I was always the only girl playing with all the guys. I know when I first started, it was like people were kind of treating me different and stuff. And then like I'll never forget this. I had a really good block. And mind you, I've been like 5'4" since I was in seventh grade. Okay. I had a really good block on this guy that was like cocky and didn't think that I could like do anything. And it was like ever since then they were like, okay, well, it's like, you know, respect. And then we go to like a local neighborhood and I'd be like the only girl pick up ball, like all the guys. It just like, it just makes you a better, like, you know, playing with guys and playing with people who are like faster pace and stuff, like definitely gave me a better like advantage. But I played ball basically until like I was like 21, like in places like that. But
I do know there have been times when I'm not the best basketball player at all. Like I will just come out and say that, like, that's not my sport. But I know there are times when I have been around tomboys that want to play with the guys. And that's more so when I was like elementary school, maybe like sixth, seventh grade, where, you know, you still like the guys and girls still kind of mix a little bit on the basketball court. I do remember there were times that like the girls like would get no respect. And it's not so much respect like on the court, even in like regular conversations that you have with your own guy friends on Twitter, off social media, they just don't get the respect at all. And it's nice to hear about like those times when a girl does show a guy up or have a little fun with the trash talk and finds ways to say, hey, look, I belong here. Like, I know y'all are bigger than me, faster than me, all that kind of stuff, but I belong here. I love hearing stories like that about how people just like make their own mark in where they are, especially on the basketball court.
Well, yeah, we had my senior year of basketball, like our coach always like assigned like nicknames every season, you know, and mine was Convict because I was very scrappy. I talk shit. I mean, I don't know where you could get it now. It's not like I do that on Twitter ever. but you know, it's like I've been the same.
I like that.
But yeah, I was definitely a convict was my nickname. So it was always, I was in girls' ears talking, you know, talking mad stuff. You know, it's actually funny. Oh, well, this is actually a perfect story for this. My senior year, we were very good that year. We were going in. It was like, you know, basically that we were going to be one of the better teams in the conference at the time. And we were playing Ann Arbor Huron. And the point guard was actually a Chevelle Little. And I don't know if you remember her or whatnot, but she ended up going on to play and be a starter at Ohio State.
Okay.
So she had accepted her and she was in Ohio State, you know, Chevelle Little, never forget her name. She scored 16 points on us in the first quarter. And, like, I was always a better defensive player. I'll say that. I was short, so, like, my offensive game, I hit a good three. That was, like, that was pretty much it, you know. But, like, defense, I could guard the best of the best. And locked her down, and she only scored 1 point the rest of the game. And I was like, I remember like saying "Go Blue" in her ear because like it was like rumored that like she was going to Ohio State and stuff. So, and the guys like they would come and watch us for like, oh, you know, like get her going, get Alexa going. You know, it's just yeah, good memories.
You say convict, the college football guy at me comes out, and I immediately think about Catholics versus convicts, Miami versus Notre Dame in the 80s and 88. I interviewed a guy that played in that game, and he talked about how there was a fight before the game between the players of Notre Dame and Miami. So that's the first thing that comes out of my head, but I get it. Like, I was thinking like something more like compact, like for you being short on the basketball court, but convict, that brings out a different type of demeanor, describing the demeanor that you had on the court. I would love to see some old film of you playing basketball because if your nickname is Convict, I'm like, you got it. You might have to spin that my way.
My dad has the whole collection on DVD, and anytime he gets a chance to like show people, he'll be like, oh, this is the game when she hit 5 threes. And it was like, it's just funny.
Well, tell Pops I might be coming over sometime just to watch some old film of you. But right. I do like, though, this little dynamic that you have. Because talking about your upbringing playing sports and even some of the convict-like behavior that you had on the basketball court, it kind of transitions into the kind of current conversation we have about women in sports today. You're mm-hmm. Like I said, your dynamic is different, but you're still the tomboy. I mean, you're even wearing like a Tigers hat right now. So you still carry that behavior with you even till your early 30s. But women in sports today, for some reason, don't get the credibility, don't get the respect that they deserve. And so I know you've had to fight kind of on the basketball court with the boys, open gym style. But even like even nowadays, I see you on Twitter, you're not afraid to bite back. You're not afraid to basically prove somebody wrong and say, no, you got that wrong, and here's why you're wrong in this way. Do you think that behavior you had early on kind of grew and kind of was developing who you are right now as a woman in sports in like the social media podcasting space that right like it is right now?
Yeah, and I mean, that also comes kind of just from the way that my parents raised me. You know, it's like my mom was always a strong woman till this day, one of the strongest women. My dad always taught me not to take any shit. So it was like basically that's kind of the mentality, I think, literally since like elementary school. I can remember even on the playground days, like I was never afraid to stand up to anybody, let alone like a man. And I just think that it brings a lot of, you know, people either love you for it or they don't, you know, and I've been told that I am, you know, a strong personality, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, I am. Like, that's fine because that means I'm not going to like be told down. But yeah, till this day, don't get the credibility. I mean, I have so many stories of when it's like just the disrespect, you know, aspect because I'm a girl talking sports. And I mean, it is what it is. Like, you know, I told myself a long time ago that, you know, you can't let like the actions like of others like affect this, because if not, I'd be going crazy probably my entire life, you know, because there's always going to be, you know, some people that have misogynistic, you know, undertones with this type of stuff. I mean, it's just been such a male dominated thing our whole lives, like at least projected wise. But yeah, I've been this way, like my, you know, like I said, for as long as I can remember, and I don't know any other way. So it's just who I am.
Why do you think, I know you talk about the male dominated like avenue or area of the space that this is, but why do you think women, or excuse me, why do you think another reason that you have not gotten the respect that you believe you deserve being a woman in sports?
I mean, we could get like, you know, into a whole debate about like, go, you know, it. Something like that. I know, but it's just because, you know, females have just not been viewed in that way. Or at least not taught in schools. Like growing up, it was like few and far between that. Like we were, you know, presented with female athletes. Like I can remember like growing up for me, it was like Lisa Leslie. Like you see those rare things and you just like think, okay, like I want to be like that, or why can't I be like that? And like I think a lot of it is women are just told, unfortunately, I can say probably like the millennial, like my age, just the tail end, we're told, well, you can do whatever you want, because other than that, I feel like it was just really restricted or maybe not supported as much when like you're younger. Because, you know, it's like I just never understood why it was so shocking that I always knew sports, or I knew football or basketball or baseball, like across the board. You know, I mean, hockey, I can remember, God, I was obsessed in elementary, middle school. Like, So I just never understood why it was like that, because that's just like, I don't know, like what I've always enjoyed, and I didn't do it just because of something like that and like that reason. But I don't know. I just think there's always going to be like a stigma, but it's like, I just do my thing and you just got to roll with it, you know, and take advantage when you can, like, because it's, you know, just something that women deserve to be a part of and, you know, be able to like be respected in.
One thing that I like to do, and this isn't just with sports and things going now, but also just in other areas of life, is look at the history or look at back and forth as far as like, where did things start? Where, how did things progress? Where are we now versus where we were back then? And I want to make some connections here. People can be like, Jay, why are you going this far? Well, hear me out. You're going to understand. When you think about slavery and you think about the oppression and the things that have happened to Black people, well, the country was started one way. The civil rights movement was in the 50s, 60s. Martin Luther King died in the 60s. But if you think about where the country has come, Black people specifically, between the 50s and 60s and now, and that short amount of time in history, that's quite a far, they've come a long way. Now, granted, it's not far, they haven't come far enough. There's more work to be done. But you think about that, like, there's a lot of work to be done, and there's a lot of work that has been done in that short amount of time. Think about women in sports. I think Title IX is, what, 50 years old? I think this is the 50th year of Title IX. I do know that the WNBA started when Lexi and I think are around the same age. And so like, it started when we were in, like, I think elementary school was, like, late 90s was when the WNBA has started. If you think about the 25 years of the WNBA itself, yes, it was unfortunate that it waited until the 90s to get a professional women's basketball league in the United States of America. It's unfortunate that Cheryl Miller was not able to play professionally in a league like that while she was playing basketball. But there's been a long way that people have come, women specifically in, just say, basketball. In that 25-year span, there are girls that I see just out on social media and stuff. They're happy playing basketball. I have my own friends who have daughters that are playing softball, that are playing basketball, playing different sports. They did not have this opportunity a long time ago. Even when we were kids, like, maybe there were girls' leagues you could have gotten. I mean, there were girls' leagues, but there weren't as many. Like, the AAU scene for girls was not like it is. The travel scene, all those things. So, yes, it's unfortunate that people like yourself don't get the respect that they deserve. But it is nice to see the progress that has been made over a short amount of time. And I just can't wait to see, Lexi, what happens over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, we'll be 50, 55, 60 years old looking back at what happened when we were kids. And then this point now and saying, it's nice to see the progress that has been made for women like yourself and for young girls coming up to see what they can do down the road to knock down barriers.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's just what like a lot of us are building now for that, for the future, because, you know, the people before us laid the path of, you know, at least getting the respect just in media in general. And then it's like, you know, just got to keep building it for the future generations and just make it the norm across the board, that it just should never be viewed in certain gender or anything like that. So anyone can do it and should be able to.
I agree. Who are some women that you have looked up to? Remember you mentioned Lisa Leslie. Maybe you want to go a little bit further into that and what connection, that why you were drawn to her. But who are some other women you were drawn to and saying, they're doing it, they're motivating me, how about or I am using some motivation tactics I have to kind of be more like them when I get older?
Well, like, It's funny because, like, I can say that it was really, like, I didn't have a lot of, like, women that I really viewed growing up too, because I think that I was so, like, into the sports that I was watching and stuff that I made those idols, like, the males, unfortunately, like, you know. But it's like, but as I got older and you respect and you see the grind of what women are doing now, that I'd say, like, Mina Kimes is one of my, like, top, like, women in sports across the board, like, to just how humble she is, but, like, you know, not afraid to like, stand her ground and, like, just tell someone off and, you know, to do that. Like, she's probably my top person that in the whole, like, sports industry, is someone that should be idolized and, like, you know, that it could be, anyone can do it, let's do it, you know. Like, it's really,
I saw somewhere, and I think it may have been a month ago, maybe her mom backed her up on Twitter, but people just keep coming at her with this nonsense. And I don't know if it was, a football topic she was talking about. I don't know if it was just something outside of football, outside of sports, but people just keep coming at her and attacking her. And basically it's, you're a female in a male dominated sport, in a male sport. I mean, it's football. I'm not trying to be sexist, but football is a male sport. And people are just coming at her with all this nonsense. And I love seeing people like Dan Orlovsky and Marcus Spears and all the other coworkers she has, male coworkers, come back and just have her back. I don't know why people keep coming for her head, especially with football topics, because she's one of the brightest football minds that's out there right now. She has a huge platform, and she's using it, and she's having fun smiling. So I've never understood the kind of pushback or the hatred that she gets, because it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, again, like the misogynistic just past and like undertones that a lot of people still carry or were taught. So it's this, it's really just threading it out like after generation after each generation. So there's just always going to be that. And I mean, because it's like people were just getting so upset, and it's like, for what, you know? And then you want to question her, and then you get the people that just say that, you know, I don't, you know, believe what you're saying or whatever, because you're a woman talking about sports. And it's just exhausting. But, you know, it's like you just got to kind of just keep your head up and keep going. And that's how you really make it as a woman in this industry, is just, you know, ignoring all the BS and just sticking to your own path.
What has been your kind of, say, introduction into like media? And what has been, have you gotten any different type of hatred or people talk trash to you in a different way since you started? I see you doing like round tables for Pistons and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. People like come at you in a different way to try to attack you for just really your sports knowledge lately?
No, I think it's like before, like I started doing all this, it was just on Twitter in general. You know, I tend to trigger some people sometimes with things that I say, but you know, it's just all in good fun. It's like I dish it because guess what? I've taken it, you know, heartbreaker after heartbreaker, you know, so you just got to balance it out and have fun with it. But I think since starting all this up, since, you know, creating this idea of sending a tweet saying I want to be a content creator last fall, and it just taking off like it did, and getting all these opportunities, I can just only be thankful that, you know, I was able to kind of network and build off of that. And, you know, shout out to all the people that have given me the ability and brought me to where I'm at today. So it's just really, Twitter is a heck of a place. You know, it's like, it's just crazy how it can drive you crazy, but just how many opportunities it brings, and how I'm able to, that's where I project most of my you know, content and share it and get the views is on Twitter. So yeah. I think I just get, the shit talking is all the same. You know, people are going to either love me or hate me, I feel like, so.
What were some thoughts you had leading up to that tweet you sent last fall about wanting to be a content creator? Because I do know, even when I started this podcast, I was nervous. I mean, extremely nervous. Week number one, I recorded it. Week number two, I was like, I'm going to quit. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have nobody to run ideas off of. And then all of a sudden, I'm 240 plus episodes in, and I'm like, I don't imagine doing anything else with this podcast, and I'm not going to stop doing it. What were some thoughts going into your head before you sent that tweet?
Well, I just thought, you know, I talk sports every single day, you know, why? And my dream job always growing up was to be like a reporter for ESPN. That was one of my like aspirations. But like, now I'm like, okay, well, I'm super passionate and I kind of have a mouth of a sailor. So that's not going to really be an option to be on that type of live television. So now luckily we're in this, you know, era where Spotify, YouTube, StreamYard, like we have all these other options where we cannot have so much of a filter and not have to worry about, you know, being fired for saying something, because luckily the world's being more accepting of podcasting and like, you know, not having, you know, editing and stuff like that. But, you know, it's nervous. Like, I'm nervous about it. But, like, now that I'm kind of, you know, I've signed on with Multiplicity Media Group, and they kind of, I work with them. I just published my first article with them. And they're kind of like who I can bounce ideas off of. So, you know, there's a lot of things in the works that are coming up that I'll be able to be involved with and build off of. And I'm nervous to start my own podcast, you know, because that is the plan to eventually do that. So I get what you're saying. And I mean, 240 episodes in, I can't wait till I'm there where I'm just coasting and not so like nervous about it. But it's going to be exciting. But I fortunately have support where, you know, I have someone where I can put it on their website and like, you know, and get the ideas to bounce off of, editing features, stuff like that. So it's just, yeah, having a good support system is definitely a huge benefit in this.
Lexi, I'm here to help you. If you have any questions when that time comes, hit me up. I don't even mind sharing my number with you. I don't care. But yeah. I will be perfectly fine just helping you out there with that. But the space here is interesting because sometimes as a podcaster, I do feel like I am on an island. Not that I don't have people to bounce ideas off of, but I'm solo. I don't have a co-host. I don't do roundtable stuff like what you have. There are things that are solo. Do you ever feel, as a woman in sports, like you're on an island by yourself and there's nobody here? Kind of like one of those down moments where all the stuff coming at you, everything coming at you is kind of just too much to bear it sometimes. Do you ever feel like you're on an island, and how do you bounce out of that when that happens?
Well, I kind of think it's like recently. It's recently been happening just because there's been a lot going on where a lot of my stuff's boosting off. Like I'm, you know, doing luckily being invited to do these things with Woodward, and then, you know, like preparing more articles and wanting to start my podcast and just being on all this stuff. And so sometimes it's like overwhelming. We're like, unfortunately, that whole thing revolves around social media. It's like you have to be on Twitter to promote your stuff. You have to be on Facebook to share that article or to get those views. So it's like, as sometimes I just want to be able to put my phone down and like take a break. And I do. I try to do that as much as I can. You know, that's why like I'll go and work out and kind of put my phone on airplane mode and then whatever. But like, it's just, it's exhausting, you know, just having to constantly promote yourself. But like, that's just what you have to do. And it's just about doing that work-life balance.
You know, you never know the connections you'll make just on Twitter, sharing, just simply sharing posts about shows you're doing, articles that you've written. I've had guests on, like, similar to you, but you and I followed each other for a while. I've had guests on Locked On Buckeyes that I've simply made a connection with them on Twitter. I had no idea they were in media themselves. I simply was like, hey, here's a show I'm doing. Like, here's a simple tweet. And then they follow me. We have a connection between Buckeye football. The next thing I know, they come on the show and it's like, whoa, they are there. This is better than I expected it to be. So you literally have no idea what could come because of that. I mean, you could connect with me at times and have her on the show with her. You literally have no idea. It's just the power of social media. There are downsides to it. I do have times myself where sometimes Sunday afternoons, I will just take my Apple Watch off. I will leave my phone unlocked and then put it in a different room. So it's not near me. So if somebody desperately needs me, I don't care, guys. Sorry, I need time away from my phone because y'all are annoying. And that's kind of how I feel about like my phone and sometimes social media. I'm not on it as much as or interactive as much as you are, but it's still annoying. Constant notifications, even if you turn them down, you're still getting notified a lot of between text messages and stuff on different posts you have, different apps you want updates on. It's very annoying. And so I like to hear how you get your space away from the chaos and the nonsense of what it is having a phone on us all day, because it can be a lot.
Yeah, I just honestly, the days that I just like put my phone down, it's like I'm either like working out or like watching Netflix or sometimes I still game too. So it's like that's my getaway from, you know, the real world, I guess.
Let's take a little journey away from sports real quick. She mentioned Netflix. I know everyone's been waiting. I've been waiting for Stranger Things to come back out. I know people have been waiting for Ozark to come back out. I've never got into Ozark. I've tried watching it three separate times.
Me neither. I need to try.
See, that's what everybody tells me. But every time I do it, the first episode I like, but then 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm like, it's kind of slow. Like, I don't want to take this slow pace.
Yeah, but that's like the best shows are like that, though. Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones. Like, I always tell people, like even The Office, okay? I know, like, everyone's like, oh, The Office, isn't that funny? I think it's hilarious. But regardless, it's like, you got to get past almost to, like, 5 episodes before you can really get into, like, the feel of things. And a lot of people these days especially don't have the patience for that. So when someone tells me, like, just suffer through the first couple. I try to, and then at that point I'll decide like, okay, if I like it or not. But yeah, Stranger Things, I'm super excited for.
I kind of put The Office and Parks and Rec in the same kind of category, like the type of humor that it is. I can take it.
The same.
But the doses of it, if I'm getting it, if I'm binge watching, I can't take it for an hour or two. I kind of have to break it up just because I guess this doesn't sit well. Just doesn't compute well with me, I guess. I don't know what it is, but when I try to watch Parks and Rec,
very dry humor. Yes. And honestly, the only reason, because like dry humor isn't my thing, like nonstop, but I watch The Office live. So for me, that's like almost like my nostalgic, like early, you know, mid 2000s post high school, like that I hold on to, that I remember watching it like every, you know, what was it, Monday or Tuesday it came out. Like, so yeah, that's really why that I do. Otherwise, if I try to watch it now, I'd be like, wow, this show is terrible. Like, because it really is. The humor is so 2005, six, you know, but.
That could be why I haven't really been able to get into it, because I didn't start watching it until past couple of years trying to watch it. And I was like, no, this is just not me. It could be the time period. I don't know.
Someone said Abbott Elementary is kind of like the modern day, like The Office, but like a school. And I'm like, oh, I got to start watching that. I've heard such good things.
Is that on Netflix?
No, it's like a TV show, Abbott Elementary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. You got to look it up. Everyone has said it's hilarious. So it's on my list, but it's not like on Netflix or one of the streaming. Yeah, everyone talks about it. Hopped on a Spotify one time, the people that I work with, MMG, like we're talking about it, and
No, I'm gonna remember you said that. I don't know. I'll probably this weekend, maybe when I get some more free time, probably pop it on and try to watch it and see.
I don't know where to stream it. I think it might be Hulu, but if you have Hulu Live, I don't know, because I know it's like a live like show. So
okay. We want to be wrapping this up here soon, but I want to go back to something you said previously. Kind of have a little. It was a thought I had in my head that escaped, but it came back. You talked about how your kind of dream job was to talk about sports, ESPN reporter, stuff like that, kind of commentary. In the space we have now with social media and being able to create content, it's different than it was even 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So I can kind of see an area where maybe there's a college football show, pregame show, you're on it, even if it's like a StreamYard thing like this, where it's you and three guys that are just having fun talking sports, preparing for the day, might be a Michigan type of pregame show. And you have this whole little moment where you're trying to predict who's going to win the game. You are the Lee Corso of the show. And Lexi has her chance. She's running through her bit. She's reading off her script. And all of a sudden she says, oh, F it. Throws the helmet away, puts it on Lee Corso style, and has fun with it. I can personally see you having a moment like that.
Yeah. Oh, especially when I'm talking about something that I'm passionate about, like sports, I'm very animated. And anyone that knows me, like, will just say the same, that I just am very, like, out there talking. You know, I try not to do it, like, on this little window screen because it'll freak people out. But, like, I'm very animated. So if I get, like, a time where I can be, like, on an own panel or, like, you know, like, something like that, it would be pretty much like that. Or I'd be definitely the loudest one. I can guarantee that.
I believe it. Lexi, this has been fun. I do think you being an introduction to this Women in Sports Month here on the podcast is going to be great. I do think that your insight and just your perspective and just your own personal experiences are things people can learn from and help them to grow. And as you think about growing, what's one way you would like to leave the people kind of a final comment about being a woman in sports and how being a female in sports, a male-dominated space, can improve, and how or why women should get more respect? Let's go with the how aspect more than the why.
I mean, really, it's just about giving them the same opportunities. And I've seen that being increased across the board, where it's like the motion of hiring more women, getting women on staff. You're seeing more women, you know, as referees, as assistant coaches, as, hitting coaches, like for baseball. It's like, it's just really incredible. And I think that's like what's going to cause this uptick, is when we see it and it's like presented more, that more women are doing the things that they haven't done and showing those milestones, that it gives confidence, you know, to the younger girls seeing it, that hey, really, I could be a football coach one day, because God knows I would have wanted to be on the sideline when I was like 5 years old. Like, you know, but like you just always saw only men, you know, and so it's just, it's really just about giving those women the opportunity to do it and letting them succeed and like letting the world see it is really, it's going to be like the thing.
Lexi keeps saying these things and different things pop into my head from when I was a kid. Remember the Titans, the coach's daughter, Coach Yo's daughter? That's you.
Oh, yeah. That was me.
That is you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Lexi, yeah. This has been fun. This has been a lot of fun. Maybe down the road. No problem. We'll do this again down the road, maybe during football season.
Maybe have a rivalry week.
a non-toxic
rivalry week.
You guys want to see me have a little fun and go back and forth with Lexi about something that we both get hostile about? Make it be Michigan week. Make it be the like week of Thanksgiving, right before we go to our family to enjoy food and just spend time with them. We're on the podcast just going back and forth talking trash about the teams that we love. But Lexi, no, seriously, this has been fun. You guys can follow her on Twitter at GoBlueLexi117. That's the last time I will say those two words together.
I promise I'm a level-headed Michigan fan. I come in peace.
No, she really is. I honestly say that. She's one of the reason why I follow her is because she's a Michigan fan. I want to get their perspective, but also where we are. I'm 33, so we're about the same age, and I do kind of like the way that you bring back the nostalgic shoes, the jerseys, everything from our childhood.
I got all the jerseys.
I got some jerseys in my closet, but I don't think I have the shoe game like what you have. Like yours is killing mine.
I know. I've always been that way. Honest to God, I think I've had a first pair of like Converse when I was like 5, and I kind of was like, okay, I gotta look good ever since. I had so many J's growing up, Air Forces, like the original Air Forces that were like that, like dirty gold. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Like I had those pair like 5th grade. Man.
Lexi, this has been fun. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I am still thinking about the moment that Lexi said her basketball coach nicknamed her convict. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, I mean, in sports, we all have nicknames. Some nicknames are different. That's one of those nicknames that is different. But hey, it described her play on the basketball court. And we all have different words that will describe us on the court, on the baseball diamond, on the football field. Whatever sports we're playing, your coach has a word to describe how you play. That was fun. And like I mentioned earlier, this will not be the final time you hear Lexi's voice here on the podcast. Who do we have lined up for next week? You have to come back next week to find out. Guys, this has been another phenomenal episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can also send all of your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. This has been episode 243 of the Jay Stevens Podcast. I will see you next time.